Reverend John has entitled his message, The Case Study of Three Characters, and it's taken from the from 3 John, okay, in the New Testament. You can turn to a Bible to 3 John, and I ask Brian to read for us.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Can you please turn to the book of 3 John? I shall begin now. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy your good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have such to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends have sent their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank God there's peace and quiet now. But you see the vibration on the screen. It's not earthquake. It's not okay in the church. It's just that the building on top, they are installing solar panel. So bear with the sound. God willing, you'll be peace and quiet as now, okay? We are very happy and honored to have our guest speaker, Reverend Tan Yin Boo, to preach to us this morning. So Reverend Tan Yin Boo was pastor of Grace Bible Church, Grace Bible Presbyterian Church, for many years. Before taking on the responsibility of mentoring younger pastors, we are very happy and honored to have him share with us God's word this morning. And please come.
Well, praise the Lord for the opportunity to share with you God's word again this morning. You can see the picture down here. Here is a picture of my church, Grace Bible Presbyterian Church, and you can see this is the 40th anniversary of Grace Church, and very soon we're going to turn 50 years old. That's very fast, isn't it? Founded in 1976. This is all of God's grace that we have been planted there in the eastern part of Singapore for this many years. I've showed you this picture down here to show you that this is a combined English-Mandarin service group that comes together for our anniversary photograph. And I show you this picture is because I want you to understand that in the Church of Jesus Christ, especially in our churches today, you have what I would call the good, the bad, the ugly, all right, people in the church. And you find all these kind of people in the church today. I was on board the MV Logos many years ago in 1974 to 75, and I've met different characters in the church, I mean on board the ship, who were doing the work of missions. All of us on the ship, about 140 or 150 of us in the ship, all Christians. And we were doing the work of evangelism, outreach work, and so forth. And in the ship, you have the good, the bad, the ugly. All right? And you know, there's a mixture of people in the church itself. Now this morning, I want to go through with you just three characters. This morning, we will look at Gaius. Gaius is called the beloved brother in the early church. And that's found from verses 1 to 8. And then the second person is Diotrephes. And Diotrephes is a person who loved to have the preeminence in the church. And this is found in verses 9 to 11. And he always looked at himself as always first in the church. He's a key leader in the church, actually, you know. But he always liked to be the first in the church. And then the third person is Demetrius. Demetrius has a good report of all men. In fact, the church looked at him, and the church has been very blessed by him. Here is a member of the church who has been a blessing in the church and a tremendous encouragement in the church. And this is what we want to be in the church, all right? We want to be a person who will always be an encouragement, a person who is of good report, not only in the church, but also in the world today. Now, 3 John presents to us a glimpse into the church life at the closing period of the first century Christian church. And we are able to see this because John the Apostle was able to pen these words for all of us. John passed away at about 100 AD, and he was about that age at that time. But he was able to pen these words for us. And how wonderful it is to be able to get a picture of the early church at that time. The book of 3 John was addressed to one person, and you will be able to see this person, and you will be able to see that it is in Mandarin also, because I spoke in a Mandarin service this morning. And here we see Gaius in verse 1. He is called the beloved Gaius, isn't it? The beloved Gaius. And the person who addresses Gaius was none other than John the Apostle himself. And you can see that in 2 John and in verse 1. Now, of course, the name is not mentioned there, and you won't be able to see that, you know, John is the one who wrote to this church and encouraged the people and mentioned the name of Gaius. No, it's not mentioned at all. And the interesting part is that it is not mentioned because in the early church at that time, church was going through a hard time. It was going through persecution at the time. And the church leaders don't have their names to be mentioned there at all. They didn't want their names to be mentioned at all. And so he just mentioned the elder unto the elect lady, that's the church, and to her children whom I love in the truth. All right? And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. And then, of course, in 3 John verse 1, it is said, the elder unto the well beloved Gaius, right? And who was this Gaius? He was a man who was tremendous in the sight of God and in the sight of the people of God also. So we look at the person Gaius first. We dive into the book of 3 John at this time. He was a man who walked in the truth. That's what the Bible mentions down here. And we want to see that he was a very faithful person. He was a blessed person to so many in the church, and that's why we have John who says, whom I love, this person. Here was a leader of the church who says, I've seen the life of this person, and I love his life. He was a tremendous example to all of us. And in verse 1 down here, we see that he is mentioned here. Let me just get that verse. Yeah, okay, in chapter 2 and verse 1, as I mentioned down here, whom I love in the truth. Isn't it wonderful? He was a man whom I love, but what do I love him for? I love him for the truth that I've seen in his life. He was living out the truth in the life, in his own life. And people can see the life that he was living. He was living the Word of God, all right? He understood the Word of God. He lived out the Word of God. And you can see that in 3 John also in verse 1. Whom I love in the truth, right? The Word of God is the one that binds us together. It always binds us together. I've been to countries in different parts of the world, and when I was on board the MV Logos, the Word of God binds us together. But like I said, there will always be the good, the bad, the ugly in the in the group of the body of Christ there. When I was in the States, when I was studying also, how wonderful it is to be able to see Christians who love one another. And we love one another because the truth is the one that binds us together, all right? The Word of God that binds us all together. And that's why John says, I've seen the truth in you. You are the one who practice the truth. You know the Word of God and you live out the Word of God in your life. And we see down here in verse 2. Let me get the verse down here. He says, I wish and I hope, there you have in verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And he wrote to this church, and he wrote specifically to this man, Gaius, and he says, I hope you will prosper. A lot of people use this particular verse here for their health and wealth interpretation, isn't it? You go to a charismatic church and they will interpret this part to be the health and wealth thing that God has blessed you. I've heard it before, all right? And this is so common to hear them always preach that way. But it's got nothing to do with health and wealth. The health and wealth context have to do with your walk with God. And when you walk with God, you will prosper in your health and wealth of your knowledge and understanding of God Himself. That's the understanding down here. So that your soul can prosper in your walk with God, in your relationship with God. That's the understanding that is used down here in this verse. All right? So this is about our spiritual condition. And John wrote to the church and specifically to Gaius and says, I'm so happy for you. And I wish that you will continue to prosper in your spiritual life and in your walk with God. I love you because you know the truth, and the truth has built you up in your faith and really transformed you in your life today. The spiritual condition of Gaius is most important. And we see his life tremendously change. His life became a blessing to so many in the early church at that time. You know, many years ago in my church, we did a survey of the spiritual life of the church, and we gauged the spiritual life of the church by members reading the Bible. And we gave that survey to all the members, asking them, do you read your Bible, number one? Number two, give us a reason if you have a problem reading the Bible. So number one, we give it to all, and it came back. 90% of the people do not read the Bible regularly. In the church, in my church, in the many years ago. And so we were a bit disturbed. Why? What's the reason? And so we saw the reason. Some people don't read the Bible. It's because they say they are busy. Some say, yeah, it's a boring thing. Last time we used King James Version, today we use ESV. It's easier to read, isn't it? ESV. Well, no excuse for you. But still people say, oh, it's boring. Some people say they're not interested, really not interested. So I was thinking, wow, not interested to read the Bible at all. You are a Christian and you're still not interested in reading the Bible. Hey, we got a Bible, the Word of God with us. And how come you're not interested at all? And that's a spiritual condition in the lives of many in the church today. And I just want to ask you, is that your spiritual life today? How is your spiritual life today? The Apostle John was the one who told Gaius, the truth is the one that we can see in your life. And we can see that transform your life. And you have prospered in your spiritual life. And the Lord is going to bless you. And the Lord will make you to be a blessing in the church also. What about your spiritual life today? I think it's very important that we examine our own spiritual life. If our spiritual life is in trouble today, we're going to have problems, not only with God, you know, in our walk with Him. We'll have problems with the church also. And you can see people not regular in the church. They're not interested in doing the work for the Lord in the church. You see they are indifferent in the church today. And they're not going to be involved in the ministry at all. Not involved, going to be involved in evangelism. Don't care at all anything in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And just wonder, is that your spiritual life today? If that's your spiritual life today, you got to do something about it. All right? You just have to go back to the Word of God and make sure you read the Word of God today. Nobody is going to be able to help you. You got to help yourself over this thing. People come and encourage you, but then you yourself have to work at it. There is a youth that I have read before of this guy who is able to read the Word of God and memorize the Word of God. Oh, he was a tremendous guy. He could even memorize Psalm 119. You know, if you know Psalm 119, it's such a long psalm. He could memorize it word for word. He was asked to be involved in the work of the ministry because people see him as being involved. People see him as being able to know the Word of God and sort of memorize the Word of God and so forth. Got him involved in the ministry, and he was involved in collecting offering. And so what happened was that one day they found out that money has been missing from the offering bank. And they found out it was him. He was taking the money from the offering bank. But here was a guy who know the scriptures, who read the scriptures, who memorized the Word of God, and yet the Word of God hasn't transformed his life. Haven't revolutionized his life. I like the word revolutionize your life, because I was on board the MV Logos with George Verber. He passed off already. He was the founder of Operation Mobilization, and we were on the ship and we went out to do the evangelism. And he says we must turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. And we were used of the Lord tremendously. Went to India. I lived in India for 6 months and do the work down there and saw my own life transformed and revolutionized by the Word of God. And that's the thing, beloved, we need our life to be totally changed by the Word of God. Not saying that, oh, I know the Word of God. I come every Sunday, I can hear the preaching, I understand the preaching and so forth. What does preaching do to you? It must transform, it must change our lives. This is where I want you to see Gaius is so different. He was a spiritual man, he was prosperous in his walk with God, and I want you to see down here also in verse 3 and also in verse 4. He was the one who lived out the Word of God. He walked in the truth. Walking in the truth, as is mentioned down here in verses 3 and 4, is a man who lived out the Christian life. People could see him. Hey, that's a Christian, you know. And that's a Christian. People can see him. That's why I remember a Muslim one day, you know, who went up to a Christian. This Muslim didn't know that guy is a Christian. Went up to this guy and says, are you a Christian? Can you imagine that? A Muslim. Went up to this guy, asked him, are you a Christian? And this Christian was so surprised, he asked him. Turned around and said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I know you are a Christian by the way you live your life, by the way you speak. No, you're a Christian. Wow, fantastic, isn't it? What an impact, man, in the lives of some of the Christians in the world today for Jesus Christ. And you know, brethren, we can have all the right doctrines, we can have all the right beliefs, but if it isn't transforming our lives, changing us, then it becomes theory, theology, and it becomes knowledge only up down here in our minds. And people get puffed up, you know, because they know theology. Actually, theology is God's word, that's all, you know, right? So big name people use doctrine and all this stuff. But it is the Word of God only for us. Now see what, in verses 5 to 6, see what it did. He was a tremendous example. That's why John could say he's a tremendous man of God. In verses 5 to 8, we see that he was able to help people in need. And in those days, he helped the missionaries. They didn't take any money at all from the non-believers, but they helped these Christians who came They were doing the work of missions, and they were willing to help these Christians, fellow Christians in the Lord. He was a good example. You can see that down here. Beloved, you do faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers also. And then we see down here in the aspect of, let me see, they take nothing of the Gentiles. You see that? They didn't take any money at all from the Gentiles at all, but they were able to help the fellow believers in Christ. Wow, that's tremendous, right? So whatever we do, beloved, do it faithfully. Help one another. Gaius was there. Gaius was willing to put the word of God into practice in his life. He knew the Lord personally, walked with God, his life was transformed, and he was able to do that which the Lord told him to do, applying the word of God in his life always. And I see that in the lives of many Christians also. But let us make sure that we ourselves will be that way. Let me just show you down here in Galatians 6:10, we are told down here, look out for opportunity. And when you see the opportunity, help out. Get involved in the lives of people who needed help. In the book of Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 41, it is told down here that we should help out also, right? And you can read that verse for yourself here. We have to do so. We have to help out in as much as we can, all right? Do that for ourselves and for the Lord. Do that to be a blessing to the lives of many in the church also. Let me just go into these other persons now. This Diotrephes. Diotrephes has been a church leader, and verses 9 to 11 tells us so. But here we have only two verses here, verses 9 and 10. The self-seeking person here, the church leader, and he was a troublemaker in the local church. I want you to take note here. The Bible says he loved to have the preeminence. That means he wants to be first always in the church. And then he also spoke against the apostle John. And his words was very bad, malicious words that is used. I hope none of us do that in the church today, all right? Speaking bad about people in the church today. I want you also to see down here, I want you to see there in verse 11, it is mentioned down here, follow not that which is evil. What he did is evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Bible mentions down here, he loved to be first. He doesn't receive John at all. He spoke bad about John the apostle. And then he was inhospitable. He didn't want to help any of these people who were missionaries who were coming. He, in fact, excommunicated the Christians, his fellow members who helped these missionaries who came in. And there's one thing that summarizes this word. He has got a tremendous pride in his life. All right? Love to be first, love to be a popular figure, love reputation, and nobody can beat him at all. He's the first always. He is the first always. Have you come across people who are boasters? I tell you, there are many, you know. One day I was doing my military in-camp training. That was so long ago. And I was the number one battalion sharpshooter, you know. Well, I was the number one there, the battalion one. No, I'm not trying to boast myself here. So what happened was that we had this guy, you know, we call him the boaster of Pasir Panjang. Well, I was living in Pasir Panjang at that time, so we know this guy. He called the boaster of Pasir Panjang. So we happened to be in the same in-camp training at that time. And after the shooting and so forth, I know I was the best in the battalion, you know, of firing ready. And I'm going to get my prize soon and so forth. So he walked up to me and he says, asked me, how is your shooting? I say, okay lah. Then I say, how about you? Ah yeah, number one, man, I got number one. No, I'm the best. I was thinking, wow, this guy boasting until like that. Then the officers called me up to get my prize, and I walked past him, and he looked at me and he turned his face away. God, a lot of boasters, isn't it? Why do you need to boast about? What is there to boast about? Bible mentions about this part called the pride of life in the lives of many people today. Pride of life. Terrible. I tell you another story, okay? I was supposed to marry a young houseman, you know, a medical houseman, just graduated from medicine, and he is a houseman. Another pastor asked me to help him because he was going overseas, so he asked me to help marry this couple. So I say, okay, I don't know them, but I went through one time of counseling with them only. After that, I did a rehearsal with him, with them. And during the rehearsal time, he stopped me halfway, you know. Stopped me halfway. And he says, Reverend Tan, please address me as Dr. So-and-so. Wow. Reputation, man. It's a houseman only, you know. Just graduated. Please. So I bring in this testimony just now to the Mandarin service. I didn't tell them this. Actually, I wanted to walk away, you know, from that day. I mean, from what I hear him say, you know. I wanted to walk away from the rehearsal. But I said, no, I'm helping my fellow pastor. And I told him, I said, no, I cannot do that, because at the end of the service, then I will call you, I will pronounce you as Dr. and Mrs. So-and-so. But throughout the service, I will not mention your title or whatever you are, you know. He said, no, I want to be called Dr. So-and-so throughout the whole service. So I said, okay, la, all right, la, you want. So I did it, no? In the actual marriage service itself, I did it for him. And I addressed him as Dr. So-and-so. But you know, until today, I can't remember his face at all, you know. I cannot remember his face at all. I can't remember him at all. I can't remember his name. I can't remember his face at all today. You know? Oh, this is reputation. John says, follow not that which is evil. And that is the pride of life. Are you that way, beloved? I hope none of us are that way. You know? We are in church today as servants of the living God. You're out in the world, you are a major, colonel, what, general, all this, coming to the church. We're all fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I know in my church there's a lieutenant colonel last time. He came into the church, he's a servant of the Lord. Just have to be a servant of the Lord. Bible mentions to us of the devil. You see that? I will do this, I will ascend, I will do this, I will do that, and so forth. The devil is the one who does that. Wow, he says those things. The Bible mentions down here, he is going to ascend up to be above the heights of clouds and so forth. I will be like the Most High. Wow. I always like to quote Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who gives thee power to get wealth. Do you know that? God give you power to get wealth. If it takes away your mind, put you in the hospital today, you're in trouble. You will not get wealth already. All right? If it takes your taste bud away, you can't even taste the fantastic food that you want to eat, the durian, you know. Can't even taste it at all. All right? That he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto his fathers as it is this day. Wow. Don't be lifted up and puffed up. The church is not that way, right? Thank God the church has got a lot of good people. I've got one guy who came into my church a long time ago, and he was in the church for a while, and finally one day he said to me, in fact several months only he was in the church, and one day he said to me, Pastor Ingbu, can I be a deacon in your church? I said, no. Several months ago only, you know. I said, no. I said, I want you to do this thing. You go and be an usher in the church first. All right? And you go and do those ushering work and so on. There are people like that. The good, the bad, the ugly. All right? And I thank God for humble people. Praise God for them. These are the people that you see outside the world. They are somebody in the church. They are servants of the Lord. They praise the Lord. They serve the Lord. And together, they build the work of God for the glory of God. You see that? Paul says, with all lowliness and humility, meekness, that's what we want to see down here, so that we can keep the unity of the body of Christ. I always like this picture. I always like this one. Moses spent 40 years thinking that he was a somebody because he was the prince of Egypt, isn't it? Then he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert realizing he was a nobody. He was a Midian. He was looking after the sheep. And finally, he spent the last 40 years of his life learning what God can do with a nobody. He was a nobody, but God used him. We are all nobody. Really, we are nobody. And God just picked us out, saved us first, and put us into the work of his ministry. Last person that I want to bring up is Demetrius. Good report of all men. Fantastic. That's all he's mentioned. Good report of all men. And John commended this man, not only Gaius, he commended this man, Demetrius, also worthy of a Christian to look at himself and says and be used of the Lord. Here was a man who was hospitable, and John says, we bear witness to that. All right? We bear record to that. We tell you, this is a good man that has been used of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop down here, and I just want to give you in application for yourself how you can be so in your church today. How can I be a Gaius or Demetrius in my church? We are placed in this church to be a blessing, right? And there is a text that tells us down here. The Apostle John wants to go there, and he wants to be a blessing to the people. And Paul and John says that I'm going down there and I will be an encouragement to you. I'll see you and so forth. All right? We are placed in the church not by accident. I got a church member who one day he quarreled with his wife, and then what happened was he drove his car out and he drove by Grace Church. Then he saw Grace Church and he happened to see Grace Church. And then he says, oh, I didn't know there's a Grace Church here. And he attended Grace Church. And it happened that he saw Grace Church. No, everything happens not by chance, but by the providence of God. How can I be an example, and how can I be a blessing to the church today? And there we have down here, look out for opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Look out, all right? Look out always. Take your binoculars and look at one another and see one another, all right? You have opportunity, don't you? Therefore, do good. I have two testimonies to share with you before I close. First one is a member of mine when my wife wasn't able to join me in the church camp. So my member was together with me. He became my roommate. And we were, we traveled in the same ferry to Tanah Merah Ferry Point at that time. And after that, he came up to me and said, Pastor, I'm your roommate, you know. I say, that's wonderful. Good to have you to be my roommate. He says, well, Pastor, I'm going to give you this thing, you know. I'm going to give you a pair of earplug. So I say, why you want to give me a earplug for? He says, you know what, Pastor? When I sleep in the night, I snore very loud, you know. Very, very loud. I say, okay, all right, it's not very loud. I think I can handle it. Huh? Then the night came. I slept. And then later on, I noticed he slept. And he began to snore. No? Snore. And his snore became louder, louder. And it became so loud. I took his ear plug and put in. No? Put the ear plug in. And I couldn't even sleep, you know, with a earplug. Can you imagine that? Wow, I couldn't. Wow. This is an example of a person who is able to look for opportunity to be a blessing to others. So you look for opportunity, all right? And you can see that I'm going to be a blessing to this person. right? Look for opportunity. Another example that I want to give you is this. Here are people who just don't want that kind of opportunity at all. There's this very important priest, you know, and he was so well-loved by all his congregational members. He's got quite a lot of congregational members, at least thousands of them. And so he was standing up on his balcony one day, and he told all his congregation, you know, the congregation was there, the people were down there. He says to the congregation, "I've got a heart problem. And the doctor told me that I needed to replace my heart. I needed to have a new heart. So I'm going to ask you, will any one of you be willing to give me your heart?" And every one of them say, "Yeah. We will. Say, "Okay, very good. What I'm going to do is this. Since so many of you say, yeah, and so we got to pick the person, isn't it? I'm going to take this feather. I'm going to let go the feather, and the feather will float down. And when it landed on the person, that will be the person who will give me your heart or her heart to me." So the feather, he let go, floated down. Oh, float. The feather came in that high, huh? I mean, it came down lower. There's a big group of people. As the feather came down lower towards this particular group of people, you know what they did? They began to blow. Blow the feather away. Are you that kind of person who will say, "No, I don't want to be a blessing. I don't want." I leave with you these two thoughts down here. Be a Demetrius, be a Gaius in the church. Look out for opportunity. I mean, you look out for opportunity, grab it, man. You'll be a blessing. And you'll be a blessing to others also. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time and for the word that you have given me to share with your people here. Give grace to all of us to apply the lessons so that we be doers of the word, not hearers only. Fill the words in the hearts of all of us and give us grace, Lord, living it out, and for the week that you will give to us by your grace and mercy, help us live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.